Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
And I'm so glad to see each and every one of you here this morning. It looks like we're going to really have another summer day. And I know that we have lots to look forward to. So if you'll join with me in prayer now. Oh, what a beautiful morning. What a beautiful day. And all the wonderful, beautiful faces. And all the deep knowing from the center of our being. This wonderful spirit of life, of love, peace, and joy. The wonderful eternal presence that is the life of our living. We're grateful for the messages that we're going to hear this morning. We're grateful for the time that we can share, that we can be with, that we can be a part of this great, beautiful community that we have here in Bellingham. So I give thanks for each and every beautiful face here today. And I give thanks for this precious gift of this place, the land around it, the people in it, and the love and light that eternally shines. So I release these words into the law, knowing that as they have been spoken, so it is.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's summer, and so it seemed like a good time to talk about vacations. And so I came dressed in my vacation garb, just to give you the full effect. There's a thing about vacations, however, that's very pertinent to us as Americans because we're really bad at them. In fact, Americans get the fewest number of vacation days of all the countries on Earth. We only get 11, typically. In France, they get a month. So we're not very good about taking vacations, and the reason this matters is because you need to take days off to improve your mental and physical health and reduce stress and prevent burnout, and that could lead, and taking care of yourself can lead to better sleep, focus, and mood. Days off also boost productivity. We have this counterintuitive thinking that I need to work more in order to be more productive. But there's a certain point at which you're working too hard and you're less productive. And overall, regular time away from work helps maintain a healthy work-life balance and leads to a more resilient and refreshed individual. As a person who retired in 2020, I now notice I need to learn how much work I need to do. You know, a lot of people retire, like I retired, and the first week that I retired from full-time work, I was like, free at last, thank God I'm free at last, right? I thought this was the answer to all my prayers. And then a week later, I was like, who am I now, right? And so it was about 10 months after I retired that I was led by Spirit into this interim minister job. Because I just didn't feel like I could just spend the rest of my life playing cards. You know, I love to play cards, but there's a limit. So the work-life balance works both ways. There's another very good reason why you should take your time off and get away from your normal routine. Because in Science of Mind, we have a saying. How many people here have ever heard the saying, change your thinking, change your life? Okay. When I first was exposed to new thought and I heard change your thinking, change your life, I thought, oh, that is just brilliant. That's so great. But there's a problem because have you ever tried to change your thinking? And it's really difficult. Have you ever tried to change someone else's thinking? And how did that go? Right? Okay. So it sounds so logical and so easy, but studies have shown that 95% of your thoughts are the same thoughts as what you had the day before. 95%. And the National Science Foundation study showed that 80% of our thoughts are negative. So, yeah, we could all use a change of our repetitive stinking thinking, right? Okay, that's why we're here. One of the ways to change your thinking, so that's what I'm going to be talking about this morning. How do you change your thinking? Because it is a challenge. And one of the ways to do that is to move your body, to get away from your normal routine. Exercise raises your endorphins. And why do people hike or mountain climb? To get a higher, wider perspective. Same for staring at the ocean. A lot of people, they'll take a trip, and what they want to do is just sit on the beach, stare at the ocean, because the ocean helps connect you to something that's much bigger than yourself. Same thing with staring at the night sky. You know, it's a very deeply spiritual experience to behold the stars and go, oh, right, it's not all about me. It's a vital reminder that there's a bigger world or universe than our own private little personal problems. Amen? Because it's very easy to go down a negative spiral because we're inside ourselves, right? Okay. Volunteering for those less fortunate is another great way to change your thinking. I had been concerned about some things going on for me physically, and then I was called to see someone and be with someone in the hospital who was in the ICU in a very dire situation, and I was like, my problems are not that bad, right? You work at a food bank. You help people who are homeless. You're like, oh, I have a roof. Oh, I know where my next meal is coming from. That's one of the blessings of selfless service. You wake up to the good that's in your own life. That's another way to live your best life, to live a balanced life, to have the work-play balance. You know, they say there are four things you need: work, play, rest, and study. And so you want to have a balance. And for each person, it's a different amount of work, rest, play, and study. And we all need that all through our whole life, right? I've also used the method created by Byron Katie called The Work. How many people have heard of Byron Katie or The Work? It's wonderful. And you can find out about it at thework.com. But she has a method for helping you change your thinking. And I want to just pause for a second and say, you are fantastic. And I was a music director for 14 years, and I am picky. And that song was incredible. You really spin. You're a magician. You spin an incredible mood. That was great. Okay, so I had to do that. Okay. So what she does is, see, in my mental image I have of this is, we get to this place where our thoughts are like a fly in amber, or they're like inside a block of concrete. You know, we have something happen to us, or we make a decision, a big decision about life or ourselves, and it's sort of locked in. And at a certain point, we reach a crisis, and we really have got to change our thinking. Amen? How many people have really needed to change your thinking about something? Okay, yeah. So what she will do is, let's say there's a problem, and she will work with the person, and she will say, the person says, my husband doesn't love me. And she'll say, is it true? Can you absolutely know that it's true that your husband doesn't love you? And it's like, well, he did do this, he did do that, you know, and it's like you start to kind of go, okay, it's not a total 100% truth of this individual that he has no shred of love for me whatsoever. So then there's a crack, there's an opening to think about it differently. And then how do you react when you have the thought, my husband doesn't love me? What does that thought do to you? And then finally, who would you be if you never again had the thought, my husband doesn't love me? Because there's always, it's a plastic universe. It can always change. It can always be different. I just had to apply this work to my situation. So, how many people here have heard of this thing called a midlife crisis? Okay. And often for men, it's like 40 to 50 and you want a sports car, right? That's one of the things. It's a less troublesome choice for a... Well, I'm having a late life crisis because I'm going to turn 70 next month. And I just suddenly was like, I want a fancy car. And I was asking myself, why do I want a fancy car? I don't care. I just want a fancy car. So I went on this journey to test drive a whole bunch of cars, and I found the car of my dreams, and it's gorgeous, and it comes with white leather interior, and yes, it's so dreamy. Yay! I mean, when I had test driven about 12 cars, and I got in this car, and I almost screamed, you know. The salesman was like, because I was like, this is a car! And for me, a car needs to be red on the outside. It just needs to be red. And this particular make of car, when you get the white leather interior, it does not, you can't get it red. So it was a dark gray, and so I just took it to have it vinyl wrapped. They do this thing where they wrap the whole car in a sheet of vinyl, and now it is bright, sparkly red. I had gone away for 2.5 weeks on a vacation and various things, and I was so excited to come back and pick up the car, and I go, and they go, there's your car, and I'm like, yay, and they go, the battery's dead. We've had to jump start it every time. And so I then had to have AAA jump start it. Then I had to take it to the dealership. Then I had to borrow a friend's car because it was going to take them days to figure out what was going on. And my thinking started to spiral down. And I started to be, what a hassle. Did I make a mistake? I spent all this money on this fancy car. Oh, my God. Okay? You get the picture? And then I remembered Byron Katie. And I was like, this is a hassle. And I went, can I know that that's true? Is that absolutely true? Does it have to be true? I mean, AAA showed up, jump-started the car twice. I was able to drive it there. My friend Colette drove all the way over to the dealership, which is on the east side, loaned me her car for 2 weeks. And then I was coming up here to speak, and my dear friend Carol Ruth had already decided she was going to ride up with me, and we rode in her new car. And I was like, this does not have to be a pain. It can be okay. And that is an example of how, a small example of how you can challenge your thinking about something and make your life easier and better. Everybody take a deep breath. And I want you to think about something. You know, when we have an issue, it's like there's a giant piece of furniture in the living room. And what we do is we go around and we keep stubbing our toe on this big piece of furniture in the living room of our mind. And we just put up with it. And it's like, you can move it. Another great technique for changing your thinking is to do a fear to faith worksheet. How many people have ever done it's a great technique. And I know that this lady here can hook you up with one. In fact, you probably should do a workshop on fear to faith soon. It's a great thing. I did this for someone who wasn't manifesting a loving relationship. It's like a one-sheet page. You work through it, and you get, and the result of it is a three-line posture prayer. So in her situation, It was that she was afraid that she was always going to be single. And the situation made her feel rejected. And the way that she handled feeling rejected was to criticize all the men that she would meet. Change your thinking, change your life. Amen? Okay, so you got to change your thinking. So she did the worksheet. She gave the three-line prayer. And hers was, I release my belief in rejection. I release my need to criticize. I am grateful. I am the love of God. I release my belief in rejection. I release my need to criticize. I am grateful. I am the love of God. The love that God is. Something like that. And what's great about it is because people learn different ways, and some people learn kinetically. And so it's a posture prayer. You are moving psychic, physical, mental energy, and you do it 70 times for 7 days. And it's also a forgiveness prayer, because Jesus said, how often should you forgive? 70 times 7, because he was smart. And he knew what he was talking about. One of the greatest turns around in my life occurred as a result of a change of scenery. So I was a young guy out of college, and all I knew was that I wanted to make my living as an artist. I didn't know what art form yet. I thought it was going to be in early music. I studied harpsichord. I thought it was going to be in comedy improv. I thought it was going to be a published poet. It was like trying all these different things. And there was, in Seattle, a fantastic theater company called the Empty Space Theater. It was really incredible. And I started going to shows, and I went, that's it. I want to do theater. And without ever having taken a class in theater, or being in a show, or having anything to do with theater, I started a theater company and I ran it in the black for 7 years. And I got to write, direct, act, and produce. And it was incredible. It was totally great. I just fell off the apple cart, and that was what I was supposed to be doing. And it was really fun. And towards the end of the 7 years, the Empty Space Theater artistic director asked me if I wanted to do a show there. And this was like, oh my God, this is the greatest theater. And I had this idea to do a particular production, and it was a big flop. And I was devastated. I was devastated. I wanted to die. And I mean that I was like making plans, right? Because I was so identified with being a theater person. And, you know, full disclosure, you know, that's how it was. So I got this idea that I needed to get away. And I had recently become interested in New Thought and was going to Seattle Unity. And I went to a minister there, Karen Lindvig, and I said, Karen, I've got to get away. I'm in a bad way. I need to travel. It needs to be not near here. It needs to be someplace warm. It needs to have something spiritual. It needs to have some kind of physical exercise, and I need to be able to be by myself. And she said, I used to manage the Shivananda Yoga Vedanta ashram in the Bahamas. Perfect! And I went, and it was heaven, and I took my first two-hour class. I'd never done yoga, and the woman came up to me afterwards, and she said, how long have you been doing yoga? And I said, 2 hours. And she said, no, how long have you been practicing yoga? And I said, 2 hours. And she said, you've done yoga in a previous life. And it led to me becoming a yoga practitioner and a yoga teacher. And it really jump-started my spiritual life. So that is the power of physically moving yourself to someplace else. Some other ways of changing your thinking is to go on a retreat, go on a pilgrimage walk like the Camino in Spain, pray, have someone pray for or with you, stop complaining for 30 days. I made that suggestion the last time I was here. It's a really good practice. That is sort of the hard way of changing your thinking, but it does work. Or write thank you notes every day for a year. That's what John Kralik did. His life had hit bottom with a failing law practice, a messy divorce, struggles with his girlfriend, and estranged relationships with his two sons. And he wrote a book called 365 Thank Yous. Anybody here read that book? Okay, everybody go get that book. 365 Thank Yous. It's an incredible, inspiring account of how he turned his whole life around through the discipline of writing a thank you note every day for a year. And in the end, he healed all of his relationships, made great new ones, prospered his law career, reconciled with his sons, gained peace of mind and faith in himself and in the universe. So, writing thank you notes, if you don't want to write a thank you note, can you find someone to thank every day? And can you find a way to thank them? I would also say suggest saying affirmations as a way of changing your mind. But sometimes this doesn't work. And the reason is because you're saying words but not believing them. You know, people will come to New Thought. They'll hear this thing about affirmations. They'll say affirmations for a while. Nothing will happen. And they'll go, it doesn't work. Okay? This brings up the other challenge with changing your thinking, changing your life, because you may also need to change your feeling in order to change your thinking, right? Because we're complex beings. We have a brain, we have a heart, and we have a gut, and there is intelligence, each of the intelligences are different than the head, the heart, the gut. Amen? Right, so you may have to engage these other two parts. It is said, and I finally find this to be true, you probably won't remember a word of what I'm saying this morning. But you will remember how I make you feel. Okay? You may remember a joke. You remember feeling bored or upset by something I put out, or simply that I made you feel better about something like yourself. That's the power of feelings. We put so much emphasis on words. So, you know, it's so great. It's very humbling in the best way. Because people will, you know, say, I love your talk. And then I'll say, what did I talk about? And they'll be like, it's very humbling. This is where forgiveness is a really good idea. Any time you can forgive yourself or someone else, you will be blessed in a big, big way. If you want to be inspired to forgive, and all of us have things to forgive, either of ourselves or other people, and it's kind of like housework. If you don't forgive on a regular basis, your inner house is going to get junked up. Dust will pile up, and your quality and joy in living will go down. That's just how it is. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Everybody take another deep breath? Whee! Talk about forgiveness. People just shut off. Anyway, there's a book and a TV series based on called Amish Grace. And it's about a shooting at an Amish school in Pennsylvania in 2006. A man held some students hostage and then shot some of them and took his own life. And the astounding thing is how the community not only rushed to comfort the victims' families, but also came to the aid of the man's wife and children, knowing that they were victims also. If you think that whatever you have to forgive is tough, read this book, because it's incredible. And it is a testament to the power of Amish spirituality, that they were so mindful, that they went right to the man's wife and children, knowing they would feel shame, shock, embarrassment, humiliation, despair, you know, unforgiveness, all of it. Forgiveness is hard. Creating a change of heart is challenging. It takes work to change your thinking, but I know you can do this. You can do this. It's actually what you're here for. That's what you came here for, to do this, to grow a soul, to mature as a soul. and you're made to do it. You have the capability. It isn't always fun, but the rewards are incomparable. You can forgive yourself, you can forgive your enemies, and in the process find that you don't really have any enemies. You can break down the walls you've put up around your heart, walls you put up at some point to protect yourself. And when the time is right, you can dismantle those walls and let the world in again. And you will, because you have to, because it's your life. You are an eternal, ever-evolving creation of the loving and benevolent presence back of all creation. And every good thing is yours to the degree that you can imagine and accept it. That's the promise of this beautiful spiritual path. Let's pray. It's been said that taking a breath together is new thought communion, so let's all take a breath together. We're breathing the Spirit. We're breathing that glorious, loving genius that set all of this in motion. I bless it. I bless our connection to it. I bless our ability to know what is our good and how to get there. I bless our ability to know that we are good and that we are already there. I bless our ability to forgive, to release, to let go of our smallness in order to allow in the magnificence of the all good. I bless this spiritual community, and what an exciting time it is for CSL Bellingham that you are in the process of gloriously attracting the perfect new leadership. I bless the leadership that you've had, the leadership you have now. We bless Reverend Deborah Gay. She's so cute and perfect and smart. And she was brought here in the perfect time and the perfect way. I bless our practitioners. I bless Science of Mind. I bless Ernest Holmes, whatever plane he is dancing on. He didn't even want there to be CSLs, and it grew beyond what he thought it could be. And amen, that his smallness didn't keep this greatness from happening. I bless today. I bless Bellingham. I bless this planet. I bless the possibilities that are there for us to heal ourselves and this suffering world. And for this and so much more, I give thanks. And so it is.